So I had a friend in college who firmly believed that all food was a vehicle for condiments. Frequently, a few of us would go to Carl's Jr. for lunch. It's a fast food restaurant that exists on this half of the country, in this half of the country, under the name Hardee's, because Carl's Jr. bought Hardee's several years ago. And they had a location in the center of campus. Most of us would walk out of there with a burger, fries, and beverage. But my friend Katie's bag always included at least a dozen ketchup packets, 3 ranch dipping sauces, and occasionally a barbecue sauce or 2. I'd watch her as she ate, completely fascinated, but as she managed to find a way to dip her hamburger into the ranch dipping sauce tubs. I mean, they're like this big around, and she still would somehow manage to get every piece of meat and bun covered in ranch before it would enter her mouth. No meal was complete for Katie without some sort of ketchup, dressing, or sauce. It didn't matter what the food was, nothing entered her mouth without first being dipped, drugged through, or piled with some sort of additive. I sometimes wonder if Katie's mantra that food only served as a vehicle for condiments, mostly out of politeness, that she'd have eaten whatever condiment it was on its own if nobody was around. But as much as Katie loved condiments and added them to her meals, none of the additions were ever salt. I cannot recall Katie picking up the salt shaker or getting one of those little salt packets, probably because salt isn't really a condiment and it doesn't taste very good on its own. Salt only ever tastes good when it's on something else, when it's used to flavor or preserve something. Salt was key for a number of Katie's favorite condiments. Without it, they probably would not have had the flavor she liked so much. But on its own, it just wasn't any good. Not for Katie, and not for us. Which is probably why Jesus told the disciples that they were the salt of the earth, reminding them that they are both an essential part of life, but also never any good on their own. For far too long, in both the ancient world and in ours, the church has kept to itself. We've made people come to us, telling them that salvation only exists in this exclusive group of people or within these walls. For the people of Jesus' time, salvation was found not only in the rituals and sacrifices made in the temple, but also in adhering to the law in the ways that the religious leaders prescribed for the people. This is the problem for the folks to whom the prophet Isaiah was speaking in this morning's first text. They were so absorbed in their own relationship with God, desiring to do whatever was needed to bring them closer to God, fasting and performing rituals, that they kept their saltiness to themselves. God says about them, "Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments to delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on this fast day and oppress all your workers." They're like the salt that sits high on the top shelf of the kitchen cupboard, waiting to be used. A serious problem when the world desperately needs the flavor that you can provide. And since the time of Isaiah, portions of the church have set themselves apart as a group that one would join, hiding out on that top shelf in the cupboard, hoping that there will be eventually more salt that will come and join them. Many of us still think of God's presence mostly in terms of worship here in this place with these people and these things. For far too long now, the church, the salt of the earth, has sat in pews and chairs on its own rather than being mixed in with the world, adding flavoring and preserving wherever it is we are. The church isn't really any good on its own. Instead, it is good for the sake of the world. We are the salt of the earth, enhancing the flavors of the world. It's simply who we are. Whether we are here in this building or if we are at home or out with our friends and family, we are salt, both in designated holy spaces like this, but also in spaces that are purely holy because God has decided to show up. We are salt here in worship, but also at whatever Super Bowl party that you go to later this evening. You are salt, a needed part of life. Without you, the world is dull, bland, and rots a little quicker, perhaps more now than ever. Salt on the palate tames bitterness and makes it more palatable. If you want a smoother cup of coffee, then put just a bit of salt in with the grounds before you brew it. In much the same way, we, the body of Christ, tame the bitterness of the world, often simply by being present. You are salt, adding flavor to life with your sense of humor and your love. You make life better, helping to free those who are stuck and working for justice in the face of those who would rather keep others oppressed. You are the salt that preserves the earth, working for the good of the whole creation, not just a select few. You are the salt that saves a flavorless dish and addicts people to God and to life. You are salt. You are the church. It is who you are. For the people of Isaiah's time, God needed to pull them off the shelf, giving them over to flavor the world with a different kind of fast, one that didn't isolate them from the world, but instead made sure that they were in everything. So Isaiah says, "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." This is where God is found, pulling us off of our shelves, out of our chairs, and out into the world, giving us over to those who are oppressed, those who are deemed worthless, reminding us that they too are salt, adding their own zest. God is not only found in rituals practiced by the salt of the earth, but also out in the world, loose and working to make life beautiful. This is where we find our God, in the world around us. It is also where we will find true life, where we get to be the salt that we are, making what is dull and bland beautiful and tasty. God is loose in the world, making everything better than it was before, and using us to do it.